time to feel the rush of the round table.
Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Before you call a lawyer, go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Right now, round table time. Joining us, political commentator for the Globe and Mail's Ottawa Bureau. Reporter, that's what I meant to say. Marika Walsh. Hello, Marika.
Hi, guys.
News Talk 1010 political commentator Trevor Mayo in the house as well. Hey, Trev, long time.
I know. How's it going?
Good.
Not too bad. Let's start off with the story from yesterday, this snowbird crash. Captain Jennifer Casey of Nova Scotia was being remembered today as a gifted storyteller, a kind and generous friend, and a proud member of Canada's Canadian Forces snowbirds team. When you look at it, though, the lieutenant colonel who was doing the answering of a lot of the questions in the last hour was asked a couple of times repeatedly about whether or not the snowbirds have sort of met their day. Is it time to move on from this program that has entertained so many people? Trevor, we'll start with you. Is it time to do a rethink on this? Many people who have come on this show have said these planes are safe, but these things do happen.
Yeah, I don't know. I know a lot of people specifically for this operation going coast to coast did go out and actually did really enjoy it and see it. I've seen them at the CNE's air show before. They're neat to watch. And so I don't know. I think there are questions to ask about safety. This isn't something that just happens every 20 years with this group, that there seems to be some sort of sustained safety challenges. So I think that needs to be answered. And it's not just safety to the people who are assuming the risk to actually flying in the planes. Like the crash this weekend, like sent the plane into a residential area. So there is a public risk maybe to some of it as well. But I still think it's a fun tradition. I think people enjoy seeing it. Maybe we just need a little bit more safety protocol around it.
Marika, how do you see this? I mean, I think Trevor's right. When it starts to involve people's neighborhoods, it's a lot different than it happening over Lake Ontario. Not trying to sound crass, but I think that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think, unfortunately, this could have become a lot worse over the weekend. I think that this is really going to come down to a political question for the government to answer to, both the future of the force, but also how well it was funded, why the planes are so old. All of these questions are going to come up, especially as we get more answers about what exactly went wrong. Once we know what went wrong, we know who to be holding accountable, right? In the meantime, right now, this is really a grieving moment. There's a lot of condolences and a lot of memorials going out to Jen Casey, but there is going to come a time for some really tough questions, I think, not just for the Canadian forces, but also for government that funds them.
Also, and again, Marika touched on it, as have other people when we talk about this in any other way except for to memorialize the people that were killed or when someone is killed. But those questions do need to be asked. We're talking about carbon footprint. You know, at some point, is there going to be a discussion about budget? You know, we're inside of a country now that's not making any money and we're putting it out hand over fist. So at what point do we start to look at things like this group of planes and say, you know, is this worth the millions of dollars that we put into it every year?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this dialogue goes going forward. Let's talk about Andrew Scheer. Why not? Huh? Yesterday he was on with our colleague Evan Solomon, proving once again that I was right about this man not being ready for prime time. Have a listen.
Can you just give us an update of something that was an election issue, your dual citizenship? Have you continued your steps to renounce your U.S. citizenship?
After making the decision to step down, knowing that I won't be prime minister, I discontinued that process.
Oh, why did you discontinue it? Out of interest.
But just for personal reasons, Evan.
You don't want to tell us why you discontinued it? When did you do that?
I'd have to go back and check.
Oh, jeez. Trevor, listen, I mean, if you were thinking to yourself, Ryan, you were wrong about Andrew Scheer, I think this just proves I was right.
Yeah, we all know I'm a massive fan of Andrew Scheer.
But, you have all his shirts, all his t-shirts.
Yeah, but you know, so listen, I'm in favor of this government. I support this government in Trudeau. But in order for the government to operate as smoothly and effectively as possible, you need a really strong official opposition, specifically during a time when, as Jay mentioned before, there's money going out to all these different causes and important things right now. You need a sober second check there on the government of the day. And the problem is, consistently, Andrew Scheer has shown himself that he is unable to do the job that is required of him as the official leader of the opposition. Like, everything that he's raised, if you think about it, the things that he's actually like raised up as his biggest points, kicking and screaming about the parliament to go virtual. I mean, we're all on Zoom every day doing our jobs. Like, that was actually not that big of a scandalous thing to actually move forward. I mean, he's getting audited for his other stuff. He's kicking and screaming about the CERB and a horse that he thinks a horse got CERB. Like, he's making a mockery out of the position. And, you know, I mean, when you start to hear a lot of conservatives step up, be like, for heaven's sakes, maybe we just need to put an interim in for 3 months. Because the only thing he does is actually produce headlines that actually hurts a conservative rebuild. I think there's some weight to that. But man, this guy just needs to just maybe hit the pause button and go away and just let someone else in the party step up and do the talking for a bit.
If we are going to do a replacement for a few months, may I suggest a well-anointed Ottoman?
Something that doesn't speak all that much. You know, exactly. Marika, Trevor's right, though. This party needs a babysitter in the worst way, or a placeholder or something, because this guy is just, every time I hear him speak, I cringe.
I think that's, as Trevor mentioned, we've seen conservatives talking about that this weekend, and that's really where his trouble is. If conservative commentators and people in conservative circles are saying he's not credible, that really hurts him then when he's trying to have a platform for the rest of Canada that might not be naturally conservative. Part of the problem for Mr. Scheer, I think, in this specific situation is that he decided to stay on as official opposition leader. I think if in December he had fully stepped down as leader, as well as saying, you know, he would step down when a new one is selected, there wouldn't be these questions right now. But his answer, or kind of lack of answer, really highlights the problem he's had from the beginning, that he cannot explain some of these things. He chooses not to really give a fulsome answer, and that seems to make it worse for him.
Just a quick thing on this as well that I find frustrating is back in the fall, after they lost and the caucus all got together to decide what their thoughts were with Scheer, they didn't pull the knives out then. And they sort of did it dirty at that point, right? They said, we're going to let the membership decide. We're not going to make the tough call. The membership will decide. So they've actually essentially stuck themselves with this lame duck leader who does nothing but sort of kick up dust for them without them actually getting their hands dirty themselves to actually push the leader out and say, we don't have confidence in this leader anymore. We need someone else to fill this until we actually have a proper leader voted on by the membership. So if they actually want something done, they actually have to get their hands dirty and actually have to push it for themselves.
Let's stick with conservative politics. Oh, go ahead, Marika.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, we've seen actually some movements of caucus trying to get things going in the absence of Mr. Scheer taking leadership, most recently around Derek Sloan. He is a conservative leadership candidate. He is not expected to win, but he has a big following in the social conservative movement. And we saw some MPs try and jumpstart the process to oust Derek Sloan. Meantime, Mr. Scheer and the other leadership candidates really took a back seat, really would not criticize Mr. Sloan for his comments about Dr. Theresa Tam and whether her loyalty was, and questioning her loyalty to Canada, which is very racist.
Yeah, it's beyond that. I mean, it's completely moronic, racist, you call it whatever you'd like, but it's not acceptable, and I'd be somebody who'd call him out on that, but I'm not in that party. So let's talk a little bit about somebody who was in the party. The former health minister, Rana Ambrose, has been apparently given a job as on the board of directors of Juul back in 2014 as the health minister. She urged Canadians not to use e-cigarettes until more studies were done. Not a great look in my mind, Trevor.
Yeah, I mean, people can evolve on issues. I'd love to see if she actually has seen studies to make her feel more comfortable about making that move. I mean, Juul is problematic in a number of different ways in terms of they've come under fire and been sued and had some of their products have to pull them from certain areas because of the challenge presented in terms of the way they market and sell to youth. So specifically, I mean, this isn't surprising. This is something a lot of people in government join boards after, one, because of their political influence and access or expertise as they sell it. But a lot of time they change it. I mean, John Boehner in the States, the former speaker, he was incredibly anti-marijuana. The moment he left government, he jumped on and joined a board for marijuana investment. It is a common trend for senior government leaders to come and do this when they go out. This one is just, I mean, a little upsetting for a health minister to make statements about waiting for research and studies to come in to then jump onto something that actually has a pretty dotted and spotty history when it comes to the way that they engage youth with nicotine.
Marika?
Yeah, I think we've also seen these kind of questions are raised exactly as Trevor said, and we have examples closer to home with Julian Fantino, former chief of police, coming out against legalizing marijuana and then going to sit on the board of a cannabis company. He's since
Nope. I think we lost Marika there. Oh, there you are.
He came under questions for that. He came under questions for that. And then she is now coming under questions for this. And, you know, Jewel, there are questions around e-cigarettes that are not yet confirmed. They're not answered because it's such a new product. For example, it has a higher nicotine content than cigarettes. So what does that do if it's a gateway drug for youth? You know, I talked to some of my younger friends, teenagers, who say that they could smoke an e-cigarette in their bedroom and their parents would never know because you can't smell it. So there are a lot of questions around e-cigarette companies, but certainly, you know, we don't know what role she's going to be playing on the board. Maybe she's going to be the one trying to, you know, work on their comms around this and work on what they actually do sell. We don't know what role she's going to be playing.
I think her official title is Cool Mom. I think that's the role.
No,
Cool Jewel Mom.
Unfortunately,
mango,
guys,
it's bitching.
We are out of time. I wanted to get your thoughts on Trump taking hydroxy because apparently he's been on it for some weeks, but we won't have a time. We won't have time to play that for you. There you go. Don't do whatever he does. Just do the opposite. Trevor, Marika, thank you so much. We appreciate it today.
Cheers, guys.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.